She is a project manager and advisor to the director of the Lister Hill National Center for Biomedical Communications at the National Library of Medicine. She's been working extensively with coding for and terminology related to newborn screening, and I will let her go into this a little bit more. I didn't read her whole thing.
I have no financial relationships to disclose. And Debbie's already given you a nice overview of newborn screening, so let's just launch into it. I'm going to be talking to you today about work that we've done related to reporting results of newborn screening. And Debbie alluded to the importance of rapidly reporting the results of newborn screening because it's important to initiate follow-up and treatment quickly before symptoms start for these conditions. But challenges relate to the fact that different newborn screening programs report results in a variety of ways. So some examples that we'll talk about in detail throughout the talk are quantitative values versus qualitative interpretations, such as normal or out of range instead of the actual numeric results, and variations in the names of the conditions. So we've done work on standardizing the newborn screening result reporting to report results with electronic messages. So some of the benefits of standardizing newborn screening result reporting relate to speeding up the reporting itself, so multiple recipients could receive the results at the same time. This would make data sharing across boundaries of states easier, which is specifically very important with disaster preparedness. After Hurricane Katrina, other states provided backup for Louisiana. Allow cross-referencing with multiple data sources, for example, vital statistics and demographic information, hearing screen results and immunization registries. These are rare disorders with very few cases, so it's important for research purposes and quality assurance to be able to pull the results, as Debbie was mentioning, across states. So being able to standardize the reporting and the naming helps to enable that. So what has to be standardized? The message format itself, what you can think of as the egg carton or the container, and then the content, the codes, the test names, the condition names. So Debbie mentioned that for the codes, we use LOINC and SNOMED CT codes. LOINC for the tests and SNOMED CT for the conditions. And the message format is something called HL7. And we'll talk more about that. So HRSA and NLM have worked together to generate guidance for reporting newborn screening results in general. And I've already mentioned some of this. But recently we've worked on a project with a number of different people to standardize reporting for a group of disorders called lysosomal storage disorders. These are inherited disorders where genetic mutations cause specific enzyme deficiencies. And these are deficiencies in enzymes that are normally responsible for catalyzing the breakdown of waste materials in cells. So in people who have lysosomal storage disorders, the waste materials accumulate in a part of the cell called the lysosome, and that's why these are all referred to as lysosomal storage disorders. And severe symptoms result. They can be physical symptoms and also neurological symptoms, and they're typically degenerative. So things like joint stiffness, muscle damage, enlarged organs, seizures, loss of learned skills. Currently, there are no known cures for these disorders, and mostly it's symptomatic management. But there are emerging therapies for these disorders, including enzyme replacement therapy and stem cell transplantation. So research is really critical in this area, which is one of the reasons why it's so important to be able to collect data from any state that is conducting newborn screening for these disorders. And early detection is really critical, especially for these conditions. Several states have actually started pilot studies or implemented newborn screening for these five lysosomal storage disorders: Fabry disease, Pompe disease, Gaucher disease, Krabbe disease, and Niemann-Pick disease types A and B. Krabbe disease is a degenerative disorder that affects the central nervous system. And gene mutations in GALC cause galactocerebrosidase enzyme deficiency, which leads to loss of myelin that covers many nerves. And I'd like to share a story with you about a little boy named Judson. His mother has given me permission to share his story with you, and his story is also available online at www.storyofjudson.com. And he was born in 2004, and when he was about 2.5 years old, he began stumbling. He was born with Krabbe disease, and most Krabbe disease is infantile onset, and children develop symptoms before they're a year old. But Judd had late onset Krabbe disease. So he had developed quite normally and was speaking and walking normally. But when he was about 2.5 years old, he started to develop symptoms. So I'm going to show you a short video.
Wow.
has started screening for lysosomal storage disorders. New York started screening for Krabbe disease, which is the disease that Jed had in 2006. So children born in the state of New York are now screened for that condition. And there's screening also done for other lysosomal storage disorders in a few other states. And so our objective was to develop standard condition names, test names, and codes so we could standardize electronic reporting for all these lysosomal storage disorders that are detectable by newborn screening for which states in the U.S. are screening. But again, our challenges were that each lysosomal storage disorder can have multiple names based on researchers' names, related genes, and affected enzymes. And there's not been consensus on how to name those things. And there have been special characters used, such as Greek letters, in the names of the enzymes and units of measure that can cause challenges for computer readability. So we'll look at some examples. A work group of lysosomal storage disorder experts was convened by the American College of Medical Genetics, ACMG, with funding from the National Institutes of Health, National Institute on Child Health Disorders, as part of the Newborn Screening Translational Research Network, that analyzed variations in naming lysosomal storage disorders and the tests used for screening them. And this was part of a larger evidence review and guideline development effort. And then HRSA and NLM collaborated with this work group and other experts on standardizing names. Then the work group published guidelines for diagnostic confirmation and management of presymptomatic individuals with LSDs. And again, here, presymptomatic is the key. Then HRSA and NLM developed a hierarchy of loin codes and SNOMED CT coded answer lists for these conditions and updated an annotated example HL7 message to include guidance for how to report results of these screenings. So the NLM Newborn Screening Codes website, newbornscreeningcodes.nlm.nih.gov, includes all of these codes that I'm going to show you. Again, the condition names are often derived from one or a combination of sources, and these are some examples from Genetics Home Reference. The name of the physician or researcher, the genetic or biochemical defect, major signs or symptoms of the disorder, the parts of the body affected. And this is an illustration of the variations of the name for Pompe disease. Pompe is actually after the Dutch pathologist who first recognized the disease. Then there are two names that are after the enzyme affected, acid alpha glucosidase deficiency and acid maltase deficiency. And then the material that accumulates in the lysosome as a result of the enzyme deficiency is the source of another name, glycogen, and that name is glycogen storage disease type 2. And the gene mutation that causes Pompe disease, GAA, is also sometimes used to refer to the condition. Likewise, the enzyme names are also a source of a lot of variation. For Gaucher disease, we surveyed a number of authoritative sources, and there was a huge variety of the naming. And ultimately, we selected the name acid beta glucosidase for the enzyme affected in Gaucher disease. We generated a more computer-readable version, as I alluded to. Instead of using the Greek letter symbol beta, we spelled out the word beta. Of the various sources that we consulted, Scriver's online metabolic and molecular basis for inherited disease was the only source that actually provided a rationale for why they selected the name acid beta glucosidase for the enzyme. And the reason dealt with selecting the name for the enzyme because it was more general and inclusive than the other enzyme names and thus more accurate in this situation. to create the new blind codes for the screening tests for these disorders, we collected a variety of information because in addition to actually creating the name, the loin code is associated with a variety of other information, such as the normal range, brief description of the test itself, and units of measure. So this gives you an overview for all of the tests. Those are listed up at the top as components. Those form the basis of the name. Those are the enzyme names. And because what is measured by the screening is the enzymatic activity, then we also include the fact that the tests are sample taken at a specific moment in time. The sample is a blood dot, a dried blood spot filter paper. They are quantitative assays, and we include the units of measure. We created these loin codes as methodless loin terms. This is consistent with the other newborn screening codes that we've created. And some newborn screening programs use one method called tandem mass spectrometry, and others use a method called fluorometry. But the units are the same, and all the other information is the same. This gives an overview of the loin codes actually created, shown in blue on the right. And then on the left, the SNOMED CT codes for the conditions that are associated with those screening assays. And then in addition to the quantitative tests, we also created loin codes for newborn screening programs to report interpretation and comment discussion. And the data types are different for those three different loin codes. So we have numeric data types for the quantitative, and then text data type for the comment discussion, and coded entry for the first loin code, which is the interpretation. And that CE data type for coded entry means that it's associated with a fixed answer list. And this shows the actual answer list for interpretation, normal, borderline, not normal, requiring further filter paper testing for at least one condition, not normal, requiring immediate non-filter paper follow-up for at least one condition, and so forth. And that was the example for Gaucher. We have similar codes and panels for all of the conditions. And just a quick overview to show you how this is all applied, how these codes would be used in an HL7 message. So HL7 stands for Health Level 7, and it's an international standard language for sending messages that computers can understand, translate, and then potentially use that information for clinical decision support. And these messages are used to send information related to health from a laboratory to a hospital, health information exchange, public health department, clinician, electronic health record, etc. And the Health Level 7 message itself, the HL7 message, is simply text with certain symbols, and we'll look at an example segment and dissect it together. And so this actually is a segment that shows the quantitative screening result for Gaucher disease. It's an observation segment, so that's what the OBX stands for, and we would refer to it as an OBX segment. And the NM means that it's a numeric data type that refers to the result, which you see in green on the last line, the 1.3. A couple fields over from the 1.3 in purple, greater than 4.1, is the reference range. And you see that the 1.3 is not greater than 4.1. So the pink L indicates that this value, this result, was low. The red micromole per liter per hour is the units of measure. And instead of using the Greek letter for micro, we use the U, so it's computer readable. The orange, acid beta glucosidase, enzymatic activity per volume in dried blood spot, is the loinc name. The 55917-9 is the loinc code, And then the LN indicates that that is a LOINC code. That's the shorthand for the LOINC system. And then the blue text for glucocerebrosidase is just a mock-up fake local name, because the HL7 message also allows you to send a synonym name, a secondary name. So in addition to the standard universal name, to promote backwards compatibility, you can send a second name. So in addition to the LOINC name and LOINC code, you could send a local code and local name. So there's just some additional examples of HL7 message panels. This is the lysosomal storage disorders panel. Again, showing that the result for Gaucher disease was abnormal, and in pink, you see the A for the abnormal flag, and the SNOMED CT code in green for Gaucher disease. And the panel for the Gaucher result with the quantitative result observation segment, OBX segment at the bottom that we just looked at. And above that are the interpretation observation segment and then the comment discussion OBX segment in the middle. And then last, we see the Krabbe HL7 panel. And this one is normal and quite similar looking with the quantitative result at the bottom. So on the horizon, a few additional lysosomal storage disorders detectable by newborn screening have been recently mandated by the Illinois legislature and governor. And in Missouri, the way the mandate was written for newborn screening, they'll also incorporate newborn screening for mucopolysaccharidosis 1, which is Hurler's disease, and MPS 2, which is Hunter's disease. So we'll be working on coding and messaging for those as well. And as Debbie was referring to, we'll be working on coding related to follow-up and confirmatory testing, which is the next phase after newborn screening. So in conclusion, standard codes and names will enable researchers, clinicians, and public health surveillance efforts to exchange and aggregate newborn screening results from all of the states that are screening for lysosomal storage disorders, which is critical for research, quality assurance, and disaster preparedness. And these data are essential for creating the type of case definitions that Debbie talked about that HRSA is working on and providing effective follow-up care. So I'd like to thank all the people who've contributed to this work. There have been grant funding from the Newborn Screening Translational Research Network, contract funding, from the National Institute for Child Health and Human Development. Additionally, cooperative agreement funding from HRSA, comparative assessment studies of LSD newborn screening technologies by the Mayo Clinic, and then pilot programs in a variety of states, as well as extensive work by our sister agencies, work by Genetics Home Reference, and a lot of work from lab system vendors. These are a variety of resources: our website, the Newborn Screening Coding and Terminology Guide at NLN, newbornscreeningcodes.nln.nih.gov, the ACMG work group's publication about lysosomal storage diseases, and if you have any comments or questions, please contact us at newbornscreeningcodes@nln.nih.gov. Thank you.